have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good evening, one. Good evening, all. Hello, hello, hello. To God be the glory. It is Thursday, and we are thankful. God has been so good, merciful, kind, loving, patient. Oh, my God. He's been better than fair to you and to me. And, of course, we should be grateful. I know I am. So I give God all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Hello, hello, hello. I am Loretta Petite, and you have reached the Loretta Petite Show, Women Winning at Life. Women Winning at Life, from ministry to marketplace. This is where you can find your positive vibes, your positive voice, and positive vision. It's all wrapped up right here in to one. And, of course, we want to share with you something today that I hope will resonate with you and that will be of help in some way and perhaps even open your eyes to some things or just encourage to already have the goals that you have already set. That is my prayer, that you will be empowered, encouraged, or inspired. Having said that, we're going to go right into our prayer, inviting God into the building. That's my building. That's your building. That's wherever this is heard. Let's pray. Father, we come now to thank you for your loving kindness toward us. We thank you, Lord God, for looking beyond every fault and seeing and meeting our needs. Father, we ask you right now that you would have mercy upon us in these dark days, that you would help us, oh God, to continue to keep our lights bright. And Lord God, we ask right now that you would help us to be courageous, that you would help us, oh God, to be strong in the midst of it all. So Father, we ask right now that you would get the glory, come in and have your way. Dear God, for someone who's going through a very hard time, a terrible time, oh God, right now, we're just asking for a reprieve, that you would please lift the burdens, oh God, even if it's for a little while, that they may be able to catch their next breath. But God, that they will keep the faith, and that they will keep the faith and keep on moving where you are leading them to go. So, Father, we give you thanks now. It is in the precious and matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, and thank you, Lord. We certainly do pray special blessings, awesome blessings up on our awesome producer, Miss Kimmy Kim. To God be the glory for you, woman of God, and to the entire Felation family. We thank God for every podcaster. We thank God for every support. And we thank God for every intercessor. God is so good all the time. Hey, did you know that today is National Popcorn Day? That is one of my favorite snacks, and I think it's high up on the list, maybe at number one even, popcorn. And National Popcorn Day is today. And, of course, the history of National Popcorn Day, it goes back a while, a ways. And it's time for us to enjoy it, whether it's regular, whether it's caramel, salted, what you call that, when you mix the two together, you know what that is, yeah. Whatever you do with your popcorn, some people like popcorn balls. I would travel and I would stop at these gas stations on the highways for a popcorn ball, but haven't seen any in quite some time. But that's what today is. And happy birthday to all of you that are celebrating on today. I count you as my January sisters, my January brothers, born in my month. So happy birthday to you. And if you were married in the month of January, I'm sending greetings to you. Happy, happy anniversary to you. I just wanted to take this moment to talk about the things that we have forgotten. Things that we have forgotten or we were not introduced to, but that we're missing so much. We are missing so much. And I'm talking about the way that we were reared, raising children. So unfortunate. It is so very unfortunate that somewhere along the line, children that maybe had come from homes where they were not fully developed yet, having children, and that is where there was a breakdown because we stopped raising our kids and rearing them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So therefore, they took on the attitude anything goes, anything goes. And while sometimes people may not have it on their mind as such, but it's down in their heart, in their spirit as such, anything goes. And that's a really, really sad thing, because I remember when I came up and I had a lenient mom. And see, that's what's happening. We have lenient moms and lenient dads. And so many very, very important lessons are lost in the leniency. They're not being taught. I know for myself, my mom was pretty lenient with me. And that was lessons that I was coming up. But there were some things that kept me in line. First, I just truly believe that somewhere along the lines, just God was in my life. I didn't go to church or anything like that, but I just kind of felt his presence, like this major eye always watching me. So I made my mistakes, however. Don't get me wrong. I did make some mistakes, however, but I always felt that I needed to respect other people, and especially older people. Now, that was taught to me. My mom did tell me that. But the thing I think that really helped me was when she allowed me to go to live with my great aunts, my grandfather's sisters, two of them. And I went to live with them at the tender age of 11. So I still had some more teaching and training to go through. And they taught me how to respect myself as well as respect others. They taught me how to respect things that were not mine. You don't go around breaking things that doesn't belong to you. You don't go around defacing property. You don't do these things. You don't give tit for tat with an adult. If an adult says something to you and you don't like it, you hold your peace. Of course, you're going to make the faces and all of that. You may even, like, exhale hard or, you know, whatever, but you don't open your mouth and talk back. That's not what we did. That was not what we were taught. And if it came back that we did that, then we would be punished in some way. So today I find that young people are rude, not all, but many are. They talk back. They don't care that you are an adult. They curse in front of you. They don't mind their manners. They just don't seem to care that you are an adult in their presence. Now, once again, it's not all young people, but the amount on any given day, it's just alarming to me how they just don't seem to care. And they'll curse in front of you, and some are even as bold as can be, and they may even curse you. So it's just mind-boggling to me how this is the reality. And now that I get the opportunity to be in the classroom watching this happen every day, it just makes me want to scratch my head, ask myself, did I hear that? And so one of the things I think that's really important for us as parents is to be constant with your child. If your child crosses a boundary, you have to set boundaries, by the way. Don't pat them on the back one day, slap their hand the next day, and say, oh, it's cool the next day. No, you must be consistent. When you have set a boundary and your child crosses the boundary, you have to, with no uncertain way, you've got to say no. You know, this is not acceptable. If you're going to say it the first time, it should be said every time. If you're going to punish the first time, there should be a consequence every time. And that helps a young mind to be molded to understand, oh, no, we can't do that. That helps them to learn You know how it is when you're trying to learn something as an adult. No one can just rattle it off and you get it. It's going to take you another time, or maybe even a third or fourth time, and you finally got it. So with the child, it's got to be repetitious. You've got to be committed to whatever that discipline is. And somewhere along the line, someone didn't have that kind of patience. Somebody didn't have that kind of mindset. And kids just started to do whatever they felt that they were big enough and bad enough to do. And now we find ourselves in a major crisis. I don't know about your city or your state, but I know right here in my city and my state, we are in a crisis. We're in a crisis. I mean, already in this year, we are not even 20 days in. And we have already had about 200 cars broken into. And we're not even 20 days into a new month. Not even 20 days into a new year. You know, home invasions are at an all-time high. Carjackings are at an all-time high. And most of the time, I mean like a high most of the time, like 90% and above, 98% and above, it's a young person. It is a young person. So what do we do with our children? What do we do with these young people? What is it that we do? It's going to take much prayer. It's going to take involvement. It's going to take someone who has long suffering to be able to reach those kids. Now, don't get me wrong. I know it's difficult to reach all of the children because it's no one size fits all. Children are different and unique, just like we are as adults. But we have to do our best with the young people. And I find that I am being stretched. I have never been in a situation like I am today where I'm being stretched because I value and I protect my peace. I value and protect on a regular. I don't allow things in that's going to consistently stress me. So giving myself to the young people the way I am, it is really a stretching situation because now I have a new norm. I've got to create new values around my peace and around protecting it, so to speak, new boundaries. And I'm finding that there are some young people you give a kind word to, you give a compliment. They reciprocate, and they are better because of it, because they just needed that little attention, or they needed to feel that somebody cared. But then there are other young people, no matter how kind you are, no matter how much you support them, they still seem to not care about that exchange. They seem to not care about how you say you care or how you have demonstrated that you care. So for those young people, I chalk it up really to one or two things. It's my own assumption. This is in my opinion. This is not necessarily anybody else's. But I chalk it up to either they have a mental imbalance and they need something to help them, or number two, that they are guided by an evil spirit that maybe rest and abide in their homes and that they live under. Because even with a dog, you be kind to a dog, he's going to stick around. You start feeding the cat, he's going to keep coming around. So we're much higher beings than they are. And when people are kind to us generally, we reciprocate. But when you're constantly good to a child and you're not careful, you could spoil that child. And that child could become so spoiled that that child is feeling entitled. I've come across that child too. That child doesn't feel that he or she has to be reprimanded. That particular child cannot believe that you're failing them. That child wants to do what that child wants to do when that child wants to do it because that child feels entitled. We must be careful that we are not enabling our children to walk out of our houses and act badly, that we're not enabling them. People are going to pick up the slack when they're not home with the people who spoiled them. We've got to be careful of that, because enabling your child is setting your child up for a big letdown, because other people is not going to baby your child the way that you do. Other people may not be there to tell your child it's okay when he or she doesn't want to do his or her work or carry their share of the responsibility in any given situation. So we must give our children balance. We must show them that, you know, there is a balance that's necessary. There's one way that you are going to deal with your family, but there's another way that you got to deal with people that may not be your family. Now, of course, we know that if we teach a child how to be kind in the home, the child can understand how to be kind outside the home. However, if the child is not kind in the home, we tend to sweep that under the rug, the coward child. Come hell or high water, we're going to want to be there for our children. Not so in the outside world. So we have to show that child, this is what you can get away with at home. We prefer you didn't. But even if you acted badly, we're still going to be here for you. But when you go out in the world, you have got to hold your own, keep your head up, do the right thing, and don't expect people to hang with you in your folly. And unfortunately, that's not the case. The young people want what you have. They want to get what you worked hard to obtain. They want to come take it and get it for free, because somebody along the line did not make them understand that you have to work for the things you want. Didn't make them understand what the Word of God says, no work, no eat. Someone did not make them understand that they had to carry their own weight. So decide at some point in time, I'm going to take what you've got. All it's going to take is me and my boys. We're going to ride up on it. We're going to smash and grab, smash and grab, smash and grab, until one day they smash and grab, and maybe they feel a bullet tearing the tissues in their body to pieces. And then you sit and you cry about my child. Oh, my child was a good child. My child was this. My child was that. But don't you think in some small way, if not a medium or large way, that you also was a culprit, that you helped your child to become who that child became because you failed to own up to your parental responsibilities and helping your child to understand that he had to work for food, that he had to work for his living quarters, that he had to work to get those expensive tennis shoes he wanted, that he had to work to do some chores, always a consequence for his action or for her action. Somewhere along the line, guys, we got away from that. Grandmothers who step in and take care of their children, their children's children, grandfathers who step up and take care of their children's children, hats off to you. Because many times you don't know diddly squat when you're having those children. But as you get older, you start to gain some wisdom. You start to learn some things. So many times by the time you are grandmother or grandfather, hey, you know what it's all about. You know what life's about. Unfortunately, age doesn't bring on wisdom, because they have some grandmothers and some grandfathers that's operating in folly as well. But then there are those who really took life and learned lessons from their errors, from their mistakes, from their friends' mistakes, from their sister or brother's mistakes. They learned. And now their grandmothers and their grandfathers, and they're teaching these children the right way to go. The unfortunate part is many times when we start having babies early in life and we don't know a thing or two, we don't know a thing of three or four, we don't know a thing of five or six, we want to separate from our family, separate from our mothers, separate from our fathers, the ones who will be there nine times out of ten as that bedrock, that person who will be there as that stone, that person that will have your back. and now you walked away from the little bit of knowledge or the little bit of wisdom, you know, that you had in your corner because you were immature and you started having babies early and you got angry and you felt like because you were angry, you know, you're going to walk away. You know, that's immature thinking as well. So we have to understand this mess that we're in is going to take a spiritual fight. It is going to take a spiritual fight. We have to fast and pray. We have to intercede. We have to call on the name of the Lord. We have to anoint our children, our grandchildren, that the teachers are saying are acting out consistently. We have to anoint them. And if they won't have it, if you're afraid of them, do it when they're sleeping. Anoint that child. Pray over that child. And that brings me to my final point. I know it must be an awful burden that you raise a child that you become afraid of. It's got to be an awesome feeling when you cannot tell your child what to do, how to do, because now you've been, you know, enabling them so long that you're afraid of them. You're afraid when they look like they're angry with you. You're afraid when they see you again. You're afraid when they say they're going to move away. You're afraid when they say, I'll come knock you out. You're afraid when they say, I'll come punch you in the face. You're afraid because you didn't do it right. Not that there is a manual on how everybody has to do everything, but you have to raise them up in the fear and in the admonition of God. And when you do that, then you don't ever have to fear your children. You don't have to be afraid that they're going to slap you, punch you, knock you down, cut you, or shoot you. You don't have to worry about that when you put the fear of God in them. And God doesn't want them to fear and tremble, but he wants them to learn to love and to honor him. When they learn to love and to honor God, they will know how to love and to honor you. But that job is you. It's for you as the parent. Parents are so busy. I saw someone on Facebook say, if your children are your best friend, you know, give a shout. Well, you know, whether or not your children are your best friend, you were not called to be their friend, even though you want, of course, to have a great relationship with your child. But your child must always understand you are a cut or two above them. In hierarchy, God's hierarchy, you are a cut or two above them. My mom used to tell me, even when you're grown, you're not going to be equal with me. And I didn't understand that initially because I had an immature mind. What she mean when I'm grown, I'm not going to be equal to her? But I understand that today. No matter what, she's always mom. She's always mom. I never cursed in front of my mom. I never cursed my mom. Even when I became an adult and got married and had children, mom was always a cut or two above me. So likewise, my children have children of their own. They recognize that I am a cut above them. They don't cuss me. They don't cuss in front of me. They, you know, they tried it. They tried bringing things home that were hot on the street. Hey, mother, I'm calling you because I wanted to know if you wanted a printer. I can get you one for $20. Or I can get you one for $5. I just wanted to know if you needed a new this or a new that. I can get it. No. Don't you bring no hot stuff in my house. Don't you buy nothing off the street from somebody who may have taken it from somebody else to buy drugs or whatever. No. You have to have boundaries. You have to teach your children how to respect you and then how to respect your house and then how to respect themselves. So that's my piece today. I just want to say help a young mother because she may not have learned all her lessons before she started giving birth. Help a young mother. Befriend a young mother. And in your daily conversations or weekly conversations or monthly conversations, hey, drop a few nuggets. Drop a few gold nuggets that she'll be able to deposit into her children's lives so that those kids can be somebody that she could be proud of and that will always recognize her as the step or two above them. I pray you've been helped by something shared today. We have gotten away from parenting the way God intended, and we must spare the rod. I mean, we must not spare the rod and spoil the child. And this day and time, you got to be creative with it because the laws are saying, don't put your hands on your children, but let the police find your child in the street doing something he or she must not be doing. Sometimes they won't just put their hands on them. They'll put that billy on them. They'll put that that shocker, I forgot what it's called. You know what it is, on them. You know, they'll put that gun on them. So that's your child. Value them. Protect them. Teach them. Train them. Secure them. Pray for them. Anoint them. Let your child have a fighting chance to go up and be something that you're going to be proud of. May God bless you. May God keep you. You can reach out to me by sending your email to LorettaReviews@gmail.com. LorettaReviews@gmail.com. I have enjoyed this time with you. Let's do it again on next week. Thank you once again to Kenny Kim, my awesome producer, and to all of you. May God bless you. May God keep you. This is my prayer. Till next time. Bye-bye to all my Januarians, my Garnets, my Capricorns, and Aquariuses. Love you guys with the love of the Lord. Bye.
And I'm here with my good friends, Sherry Murdoch and Fred Hammond.
That's right, with you.